Take your Bible, Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I am excited about tonight's lesson.
Preaching.
I'm about to. Hang on. I'm going to learn you something about the Bible tonight, amen? Something that probably 99% of the Christians in this world have no concept, and probably 100% of the world has no concept of. And I think I can help you with something here. Exodus chapter 19, let's read from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. You follow along silently. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. That's not like what they do downstairs. Because the Lord descended upon the fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai and on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Tonight, probably, it won't be the most exciting of the lessons, but it may be, in my opinion, one of the most important ones. I believe it has some of the most important truths and principles that God has for us, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It's only been days, maybe a couple weeks, since the Jews have left Egypt. Now, let me remind you, they had been in Egypt for decades and actually centuries. They went through the 10 plagues. They left. God led them. They went south and up into the mountains and then down to the Red Sea. They were stuck at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them. God brought the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. God turned that to where the light and the cloud was side by side between the Egyptians and the Jews. God opened the Red Sea, dried it up. They crossed on dry ground. Moses held up his rod. It closed back over the Egyptian army, and all the Egyptian army died. They're free. They're on the other side. They're in what we would call the Sinai Peninsula between basically where Saudi Arabia is today. While they're there, they started complaining that they didn't have food, and God gave them manna, and God gave them quail. God also had Moses strike the rock, and water came out enough for 2.5+ million people and all of their herds and everything else. God's been taking care of them day by day, step by step. Now, they've made their way a little farther east. Of course, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had met them while they were there. That's what we discussed last week. Now they're at the place called Mount Sinai. What an important place, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai isn't much taller of a hill than most of the mountains just over here, just to the west of us. It's kind of a big hill. Now, around here, they call that a mountain, but you go out west, that's just a step. If you've ever seen the Rockies, you wouldn't call what we have around here mountains. These are hills. But either way, it's more of a mountain like what we would have over here, not as big as South Mountain near Frederick there. It's just a pretty much so just a tall hill. But the Bible says that God understands something. He wants to take them, get them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, Canaan land, and he wants them getting along. He's got to get them from where they are to where they're supposed to be, conquer the land, and let them take over. By the way, God wants them to succeed. God doesn't want them to have necessarily problems, but he's not going to keep them from that. Now, God knew that every one of those people were sinners, and there was no way that millions of people traveling together and living together didn't need some form of rules. The reason we have government, the reason we have rules, is because of sin. You know, there was only one law before there was sin. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After that, you can blame Adam and Eve for the purpose of government. Government is to protect man from man. That's all it is. Government is to protect man from himself. God reminded the people, I did not take time to, if you look back at the earlier part of the chapter, one of the sweetest verses in all the Bible is Exodus 19, verse number 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagles' wings, brought you unto myself. God says, hey, look, I was like that mother eagle that came down and swooped under you and caught you, and I carried you all through to safety. I brought you through the worst part. You thought you were about to go thud, and I caught you. And you're resting safely on me, and I carried you away safely. God reminds them how he did all of this, and he did it to prove how great he is, and he wants to prove to the whole world how great a God he is and how wonderful he loves the Jewish people. They were his chosen people. God wanted one nation, one group of people that would be close to him and let him be close to them, vice versa. God also wants to be close to us, though. Did you know God loves you as much as he loves the Jew? I get a little, and I probably shouldn't be this way, but I get a little irritated every once in a while. Well, that was only preached to the Jews. Well, I hate to disappoint you. The Bible's good for everybody. Well, this is only a promise to the Jews. No, God made the promise to all of us. Those that are in Christ, the Bible says, according to Romans chapter 1, if you're saved, you have Jewish blood in you because you got saved through the same blood. It's by that. We are Jews spiritually, not outwardly, but inwardly, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, God did this so much, God loved us so much, he made a plan for man to get back even though he sinned. It's called salvation. Amen. Now, God did all this after he had taken care of the Jews, getting them out of Egypt, all the plagues, the manna, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, the Red Sea, opening, closing, the manna, the quail, the water. He's leading them, and yet they still are complaining. They're still whining and complaining. And as all he wants is a close relationship with them. Now, he says, look, I'm going to give you a personal relationship with me, and I'm going to show you something. And God, if you read all of the chapter later, you'll find out God says, I want you to come to Mount Sinai. I want you to clean yourselves up, sanctify yourselves. In 3 days, he said, I want you all to meet at the base of Mount Sinai. Read it later. I'm going to tell you the story right now. All right? And he says, but I want you to set up guards around the mountain so that the people don't actually... I did hit that, didn't I? He said, I don't want them to actually touch the mountain. I don't want anything that touches the mountain. When I come down, he said, I'll have to kill them because of my holiness. He said, I want you to come, wait at the base, and then when I sound the long trumpet, he said, I want Moses to come up. So they cleaned themselves up, they washed their clothes, they washed their faces, they kept themselves clean, and they met at the base of the mountain. The Bible says that they went out that morning and the mountain was smoking like it was on fire. And God came down in the smoke. The Bible says there was the sound of the trumpet that sounded long, and Moses called out and said, God, is that you? Now, that's my words, not necessarily in the Bible. But I imagine... You know, what's he going to do? Hi. You know, I'm not exactly sure what he said, but he called out to God, and God said, Moses, come on up. So Moses went up to the mountain and he began to talk to God. The Bible says later, as one would talk to his friend. They talked face to face. Now, God was ready to kill them if they touched the mountain. And he begins to talk to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to go back down. The people are gazing up at us right now and they're beholding me. And if we're not careful, they're going to break through and come up and I'm going to have to kill them all. Now, I don't know about you, but if I could get a closer glimpse of God, I'd do it. Wouldn't you? I'd even think about breaking the law to do it. Not like the guy that passed me on Route 9 today that got stopped by the police officer that was speeding. And it was not me. Praise the Lord. Set that thing at 65 and don't speed. Amen. But he got it. I watched it. I said, yes, good way to have a bad day. Now, wait a minute. They saw the mountain smoking and they knew they could hear God's voice. And I imagine many were curious and, you know, I'm glad I'm not going to be here after the rapture, but I sure would like to see people's faces after the rapture that are left. What was that all about? Yeah, that bewilderment look, you know. Now, God tells Moses to go down, tell them, don't break through. And he said, then don't even let the priests come. He said, I want you to gather Aaron, your brother, and bring him up. By the way, Aaron was the first high priest. We'll get into that later. He said, only Aaron can come with you. And he said, anybody else, he said, I'll have to kill them. Even the Levites, even the priests. He said, I'll kill them all if they touch the mountain. Tell them, don't touch it. Now, he goes up and then he goes back up and then God begins to work through Moses and give some things that we'll talk about tonight. Now, that's the introduction of chapter 19. Let me give you some principles about that. Number one, I love this. A close walk with God is done individually. A close walk with God is done individually. I hate to disappoint you. Church is very, very important. But if all you do is walk with God while you're at church, you don't have much of a walk with God. God can teach you. You can learn things at church. But you're not going to develop a close walk with God just at church. My wife and I are close, not because we dated in public. We spend a lot of time in private. It wasn't the publicness that caused us to be close. And even when we were in public in college, you closed everybody else off. Amen? I understand that. But you don't get close being in a crowd. You get close one-on-one. We can, and we should learn in a group, but you will only walk with him on your own. The man of God, his job was to meet with God and bring the word of God back to the people. That's what Moses was. You know what my job as pastor is? Meet with God, come back to you and share with you what I got with God. That's my job to a certain degree. That's what preaching is. That's what counseling is. That's what trying to love and to help people is. It's meeting with God, bringing back to the people what I got from God and God's word. Now, the man of God is not God, but he's to deliver the message from God. I am just a sinner just like you. I am not God. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Jesus at Calvary made it possible for us all to have access to God just like Moses did. We are not going to take time to turn to all these verses. We're going to turn to some of them. But I'm going to list something here for you in Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, Luke 23:45. All of them in reference to Calvary, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom.
Yes, sir.
At Calvary, as soon as Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was rent between the holy place and the holy of holies. And because only the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. it was to be totally blocked off. When God tore that thing open, he made access to God personally available to each and every one of us by the Holy Spirit indwelling us.
Amen.
Now watch this. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, my soul, I have so much to give tonight, and I will get you out on time tonight, even if I have to crash land the sermon. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7. And I'm going to read several verses here, so you follow quickly with me. But Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. Wonder who that is, huh? High priest that became us. It's in reference to Jesus. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Hebrews chapter 8. Let's keep reading for a moment here. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof is the necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example of a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, watch this next word, showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, I'm going to stop there for right now. I could keep going. Jesus fulfilled the priesthood for man. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into you. That's why the veil was rent in the temple from top to bottom. God tore it up and said, now ye are priests. You are priests of God. And Jesus fulfilled all that because we didn't need the regular sacrifices to remind us. Those were pictures of what Jesus was going to do for us. He fulfilled it all. It's not needed anymore. By the way, that's why denominationalism, Catholicism, anybody that dresses somebody up like the Levitical priesthood, it's wrong. Jesus already fulfilled it all.
Amen.
It's already been fulfilled. By the way, Jesus wasn't from Levi. He was from Judah. And we could read in Hebrews, and I'll show you later in our Bible studies, where God knew that man would worship the priesthood instead of the high priest, which is God. Our walk with God personally as an individual is as individual as salvation is. I love my wife. My wife reads her Bible and prays every day. But did you know I can't walk with God for her? We pray together. But did you know if that's only the prayer that we do with each other, we don't have a personal relationship with God individually? I'm for families praying together. I am not against it. I'm for it. But if that's the teaching your children to pray with you, wonderful thing. But teach your children to pray on their own, by themselves, and walk with God. The day will come when you're not there, then they're not going to pray and not walk with God. And whose fault's that? The only time I can walk with God is if mommy or daddy's there. No, you're supposed to walk with God because you're supposed to walk with God.
That's right.
Now... We're to have a personal relationship with God. I can't get saved for Brother Stoltz. We know he needs to get saved. But I cannot get saved for him, nor can I walk with God for him. I can walk with God so that I can help him, but I can't be his walk with God. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm trying to rattle your head one way or the other, so I know I'm at least making some sense here. So God was teaching the people here in Exodus 19. He wanted a personal, one-on-one walk with every individual. Now, I got to hurry because I really want to get to this because this is fun. Exodus chapter 20 is something that happens right after this. Exodus chapter 20. This is that thing that about 99% of the people don't understand, and I think I can help you with. Exodus chapter 20, and I'll read the first couple verses, and I'll reference much of the rest of the chapter. And God, I want you to notice this next statement. And God, what?
Faith.
All these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And I'm going to stop right there. We know these next verses all the way down through verse number 17 as the what? Oh, that was weak. You sounded like Methodist. They're known as the what?
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. That's correct. Now, I want you to notice something. What does verse 1 say? And he spake all these things. Now, it's the word of God. But it doesn't say that God wrote those things. It says that he spake those things. We hear that Moses took the tables of stone up and God wrote the Ten Commandments, five on one and five on the other. Took him 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it doesn't take 40 days and 40 nights for me to start copying verse 3 through verse 18. I can do it in a couple few minutes. I don't mean to be on you. So, well, that was in stone. My Bible says that God took his finger and wrote in the stone. He didn't need a pen. He didn't need a chisel and a hammer. Now, these were, and by the way, this is what I want you to understand about the Ten Commandments. Are you ready? Everybody look at me because I want you to really understand what I'm going to say because I'm going to get misquoted if I'm not careful here. These were given as a constitution or a way of governing themselves as men. It was not given as a way to heaven.
Right.
These were civil laws. He said, Moses, I'm going to give you a list of laws to give to the people to live by. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can I tell you what? False gods bring corruption, evil, and wrongdoing amongst human beings. It's called humanism. Verse number four, thou shalt have no graven image. Verse number five, thou shalt not bow thyself to him. Verse number seven, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. And we can go through all the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All those things were a way of governing. You have to understand, 2.5 to 4 or so million people. What was going to be the government? Do you ever wonder why our forefathers used the Ten Commandments in accordance with the Constitution? Because it is civil law. It is how man is to get along with man and be as close to God in the process as we can. Please don't take this the wrong way. Muslims don't have a very good legal system. You either do what they say or they kill you. And if you don't agree with them, they kill you. And for you to be higher up in the next world, you go kill yourself and kill a bunch of infidels. That sounds like a real good government, doesn't it? The Ten Commandments were a way of the people enacting a civil law. There is nothing in here about this that gets anybody to heaven. Not a thing. Has nothing to do with going to heaven. I didn't break all of the Ten Commandments, so I can go to heaven. I try to keep the Ten Commandments. So did the United States government when it was set up. That's why it was there. It was there. We would use the word constitution. These were 10 laws by which the people could rule and remember them. The more rules you have, the harder it is to remember them all. Do you ever wonder why every so many miles on the freeway they have the speed limit sign? Because you're supposed to keep it and not forget it, right, Ellen? And by the way, it's kind of like the old lady that got stopped by the police officer, and she had her other old lady in the car with her, and that lady was just trembling. And the guy stopped her and said, "Lady, you're doing 115 miles an hour, and this is a 65 mile an hour zone." She said, "No, it said 115 right there." He said, "That's the state route number." No wonder the other lady was about ready to have a conniption. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Don't try that one, Wiley. It will not work. All right. But these laws were given as civil laws so that man could get along with man while in the wilderness and establishing the promised land. These are the laws God wanted the promised land established by. These were the laws that God was going to use as government for them while in the wilderness, getting from point A to point B, then use it as the basis once they got into the promised land. People who will humble and honor God are more apt to get along with each other. The first part of these are about having a relationship with God and not man's gods, because people that worship man's gods, man's ways, usually are pretty corrupt. Some of you that came out of the Catholic Church, you know what I'm talking about. You went and got drunk with your priest. They go to the bar with the priest. I could go on and on and on and on. I'm not criticizing, but what is that? Man putting man up as God, worshiping saints, worshiping other gods. You go to some of the heathen lands that worship multiple gods, and we're not going to go into all of them. By the way, it doesn't mean they're all bad people, but man's religion, man's false religion, is generally not as moral as Christianity. America, when she respected God, was a better nation than she is now.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I was reading some material about Billy Sunday here just in the last couple of weeks. And Billy Sunday used to play for the Chicago White Stockings back in the early 1900s. That was prior to them being called the White Sox. They were called the Chicago White Stockings. No lie. And the coach was so worried about his players because they were drinking, living immoral, that while they were in Chicago, the Salvation Army was standing on the corner preaching, and the coach stopped practice and brought his team out to hear the preaching of the Word of God on the street corner. Billy Sunday got saved and stumbled into the Pacific Garden Mission from the old D.L. Moody Church. That's where Billy Sunday got his start with quote-unquote religion. Even the professional sports athletes back then were as vile as they are today. But there was a respect for God. There's not anymore. This law or constitution was which the Jews were to live peaceably with each other in the wilderness and to get to the promised land. Man has now worshipped the law as a way to heaven, and God did not want it that way. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to show you a few verses here. And I got to hurry. Thank God they're all in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read them to you. I can quote them, but I'm not going to. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them," but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, look at Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, just back another page. Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which are destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is right. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Look at Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto a faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen.
And I got to stop right there because I could keep going. But the law was not given for man to get to heaven.
That's right.
Man is justified by faith.
Amen.
We are saved by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Adam, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith Jacob, by faith, and every one of those, we call it Faith's Hall of Fame. And they were all saved by faith, not by the law.
That's right.
The law was given to show us our need for salvation.
Amen.
We needed the civil laws to govern ourselves so we didn't kill each other. Thou shalt not kill. Say, why did God put that in there? Because he knew you'd have children. He knew they would turn into teenagers. He knew what we would be like because we're sinners. Thou shalt not lie. You say, why? Because God knew we're liars from the womb. I held that little baby boy, well, chunky little baby boy, in my arms today. Little Timothy Dean was in my arms. And I looked at him. I thought, yeah, you're all sweet and precious right now, but you're just as bad a sinner as I am. Now, he didn't know that he was one, but I'll promise you about 2 o'clock in the morning when he starts squalling and nothing's wrong, they're going to call him a liar. They've been down this track 3 other times. They understand. Amen. Now, wait a minute. As I held him in my arms, I prayed for him to get saved early in life. Like I did his brother and his 2 sisters. I've held all 4 of them. And I always pray for a child when they're born like that, that they would get saved early in life and keep them from the nastiness of the world and the evil of the world. Say why? Because I think it's important that they get saved early in life. But they don't get saved by keeping the law.
Amen.
You get saved by faith. And the law was given, these 10 commandments were given as a civil law for man to get along with one another. That's why it's at the courthouses in America. It used to be. That's why it's at the Supreme Courts. That's why it used to be in the town halls, in the state capitals. It was there as a representation of civil law. It was not a law to get to heaven. It was law to get man to abide with one another by without as much trouble. And I got to hurry. Point number 3, and I have 6 minutes. Hurry up. All right. Exodus chapter 20. We'll get back to Exodus again. And I want to show you something here. And I'm not going to read all of these verses for time's sake, but Exodus chapter, yeah, Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 18. And all the people saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near in the thick darkness where God was. Let me teach you something. Did you know the average person, they get saved, they start growing in the Lord, and all of a sudden they start looking around and saying, I just can't do this. Do you ever wonder why Christians kind of come on and they start growing and all of a sudden they go, or they grow to a certain point and then they decide to go back to where they came from? And that's because you start seeing God as he is and you start seeing yourself as you really are. You get a good glimpse of God, you get afraid. I was counseling a man last Saturday morning by phone in a distant state. And I said, you're growing. He said, but I don't feel like it. I said, that's proof you're growing. He said, yeah, but there was a time I thought I was a good Christian and I was a phony. Now you say, I'm growing. Yeah, because you're starting to see yourself as you really are. The closer you get to God, the more you see yourself as you really are. Anybody in Scripture that saw God, they looked at themselves and said, woe is me. Whoa.
That's right.
Holiness. Perfection. The power of God. It ought to scare you. The people were scared to get close to God. Because of being afraid of God, they decided to do exactly opposite of what God told them to do. You realize that while Moses was back up on the mountain, they took the clothes off, they started dancing to the wrong kind of music, and they put all their gold, well, not all their gold, but threw their gold together, and Aaron made a molten calf, and they started worshiping the Egyptian god of the cow. It doesn't make much sense, does it? Say why? Because they were afraid. I watch more young Christians, I watch more Christians backslide over fear than anything. Can I tell you something? About time you think you're about ready to give up, you're starting to get close. Just stay close to God. Moses stood there, walked into the darkness, talked to God, came back out, and he said, what are you afraid for? It's just God. He loves you. He wants to prove you. He wants you to prove him. What are you afraid of? Can I tell you something? You don't have to be afraid of God. Now, you do in one way in the fact that you're a sinner and you're not God. But you don't have to be afraid that God's waiting for you to mess up and he's going to thump you on the head. God doesn't do that.
That's right.
God loves you. Now, if you get out of line, he's gonna whack you one to get you back in line. Man wants to make his own way to God or have his God's comfortable, make his God comfortable with him. God's not going to do it your way. He's going to do it his way.
That's right.
I'm going to show you something here. Holiness and God shows man how sinful he is and how uncomfortable it makes man. Look at the modern religion of the world today. It's casual. It's appealing to man. It doesn't much appeal to God. The rock music, the movie theater style buildings, all of the formalism. Then you've got the casualism, I call it. You got the guy with the turtleneck shirt and comes out and sits with his Garth Brooks microphone on and sits down on his stool to, let's have a little talk with Jesus. And tells you a little story that he got sitting at the coffee table from his computer. Look how modern religion wants Christianity to be comfortable, and the common term is come as you are. Now, I believe that we ought to grab every sinner, pull them out of hell, and get them here. But may I say this, if the best they got's a clean pair of blue jeans and a clean t-shirt, I think they ought to put the cleanest ones they got on.
Yes, sir.
I just believe in that. There used to be something called Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. People used to get dressed up to go to church, not dressed down. They can go to church in their pajamas. God have mercy. By the way, I'll show you something that's happened in the world today. We'll criticize the Catholics for having a pope. But that's what the average Christian wants the pastor to be to them. You go talk to God for me. I'll listen to you, but I don't want to go talk to God myself. The average Baptist is as guilty of Catholicism as the Catholics are. You just call him pastor or preacher instead of El Papa. The Jews said, Moses, you speak to us. You talk to God and you tell us and we'll do what you say, but we don't want to meet with God. That's exactly what the Catholics teach through the popes and the priests. Moses said, you're supposed to meet with him too. You meet with him too. God wants us all to individually step up and walk with him. I'll finish right here. God knew that sinful man would not and could not live right with each other. Did you know you can't live right on your own? That's why we have to have rules. Rules, all these rules. Yeah, the older you get, the more there are. Better get used to them. Say why? Because the older you get, the more sin that you can get involved in. More hardened to sin you get. Sinfulness brings rules. But rules don't eliminate sin, and rules don't bring heaven. It is the grace of God and by faith in Jesus Christ that brings heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by the law, it's by faith and grace. The law was not given. These laws were not given. The Ten Commandments were given so man could get along with man. It was what we would call a constitution. It had nothing to do with going to heaven. Nothing at all. Those aren't really the law. Those were the civil laws. And we'll get into some of the others later. Every head bowed, every eye closed.